Welcome to the Band of Gamers podcast, episode number 20. My name is Greylock3491, and this week I am joined by DBQ Hams.
Welcome back, everyone.
Osiris Prime.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be back.
And Zeus Adamus.
Salut.
Well, welcome back, everybody. It's great to see everybody. It's been a while since all four of us have been on the podcast, and I think, Osiris, since you haven't been here the last couple of weeks, we're going to start with you. Give us the highlights of what you've been playing the last couple of weeks.
Sure. So, as usual, I've been playing Call of Duty Advanced Warfare and Minecraft. And then I actually picked up Elder Scrolls Online a couple weeks ago. I think it's been like 2 weeks now. And so I've been playing through that. I think I'm a level like 4 or 5, maybe 6 at the most. So I'm going through that. Fortunately, I haven't been able to jump online with anybody. I usually game like super late at night, so I've just been kind of by myself, just kind of getting the feel of everything. But it's pretty much an Elder Scrolls game, pretty much like Skyrim. You're pretty much doing the same thing, you know, doing quests and stuff like that. But now you can do it, you know, with people if you choose to. So far, I haven't really hit anything that I haven't been able to deal with by myself. There was like maybe one that was kind of hard. There was like a couple levels above me, but I eventually was able to defeat that enemy. So I'm sure it's probably going to get way harder as I level up and kind of go into different areas and open up different areas. And so I like it though. It's I think I mentioned on the CAG site, casualgamers.com. It's not, you know, the prettiest game in the world. You know, it's an MMO, so you got all kinds of people running around and all kinds of things going on. So it's not the graphic powerhouse that maybe like Skyrim is and some of the other games, but it's really fun. I like it. It's definitely an Elder Scrolls game. So if you played past, you know, Skyrim, Oblivion, and all these other games, you know, it's pretty much the same thing. But you know, it's kind of a different dynamic, obviously, because you can, you know, go in parties and groups now and make clans and all that. So I don't know if I'll get that deep into it, but you know, jump online when people are in there. So other than that, I've played Watch Dogs, which is my backlog game of choice right now, and a couple of you guys are talking about your backlogs being super huge. So I've been actually picking, kind of going through my list of games and just picking one, just going through it until I beat it, you know, and then on to the next one. So and then GTA 5, which I actually got back into because there was a content update, which I'll actually talk about in a little bit here in the new segment. So I started getting back into that. I played a little bit of that beforehand, but once the new content came out, I kind of jumped in there. I really wanted to see, you know, what was going on with all that. So that's about it for the past. Like I said, it's been a while since I've been on, a month or so. I did play the Black Ops 3 beta, which I didn't have listed on here, but I did play the Black Ops 3 beta, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and which kind of got me back into Advanced Warfare because I wanted to kind of just jump back in there and do that. So other than that, that's pretty much it. How about Zeus? How about you? What you been playing lately?
So I've been playing a bunch of stuff, just kind of picking at a few things. So I finally got like everything set up in the new computer room in my house. So I went on a tear of PC gaming this weekend and played Need for Speed Undercover, Painkiller, Rage, Trackmania 2 Canyon, and Unreal, and that's the original Unreal. I don't know how many people remember that from the old 3DFX Glide, Voodoo 2, Voodoo 3 video card era. And then the big thing, the thing that I spent my most time in was Borderlands for the PC. I completed probably about 90-95% of that game. Actually, I think I was up to the last boss battle of Borderlands on the PS3, and I just never got around to finishing it. So, but I bought it for the PC because I wanted to just see how well it played with mouse and keyboard when it was on sale on Steam for like $2.99 or $4.99 or something like that. And had a really good time playing it this week, and there's a lot of things about that game that I didn't even notice the first time through. Like, I played so much co-op on it. It really has a good soundtrack. It, when you're out, like, in the desert, like in Skag Valley, or Skag Gully by yourself. It has this really lonely, like, violin soundtrack, and I picked that up because on another site that I work with, we've recently been talking about music in games, so that was really awesome, and it has really good, great sound effects, too, so I really enjoyed playing it on the PC. I don't like how the vehicles control. With mouse and keyboard, that felt a little unnatural in comparison to driving the cars with a gamepad. But other than that, like I said, I had a blast. I sat and played on that long enough to level up through, like, level 10. So I played from the beginning up through level 10 in one sitting this weekend. So that was a pretty good chunk of time. And lastly, I've also been trying to get my streaming stuff down, because I've just never dedicated time to it. I was using OBS, which is just horrible in its consistency, especially if you use it on multiple PCs. So I switched over and started using XSplit, and that worked well. I just need to solve a problem where if you're rendering at, like, less than 720p, you get the screen that you're recording, but you also get all of the remaining black. The rest of the area is just blacked out. So you get this weird kind of, like, you get, like, three quarters in the upper left hand corner of a 720p picture, and then the rest of it is just blank or black. So I got to figure that out. But XSplit turns out to be much easier to configure and use, and much more consistent than OBS. And a DB, how about you, man? What have you been playing this week?
Well, first I want to go back to your Borderlands 1 playthrough, because I played all three Borderlands on the PC, and I completely agree with you about the controls. It wasn't so much of a big deal in Borderlands 1, because there's not a whole lot of driving missions, but in Borderlands 2 and some of those DLCs where you've got, like, races and things, trying to steer with the mouse it's kind of really just sloppy. But how are the what character are you playing through? That's the first question I have, Zeus.
So I'm playing a soldier, which I didn't play a soldier on the PS3. I think I played a berserker, and then I played what's the guy who's, like, a really good sniper, and then he gets, like, the hawk as his superpower? Do you remember what class that was?
Yeah, I guess he's a sniper. It's Mordecai is his name, but yeah, he has the hawk that can attack people from distances, and yep. So there's the sniper who, I don't, Roland, I think, or not, the Roland is a soldier, and then you have the female character who's kind of got, like, the magical warping abilities, and then the sniper, but I can't remember who the fourth character is.
Did you say the berserker? There's just the really big guy. There's the tank guy character, basically.
Yes, yeah, Brick. Yep. Yeah, he just punches stuff, right? Yeah, the big guy. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, I played through the first one with the soldier class, is what I played through on the PC. And, yeah, it was, you know... So you really went back. I mean, so not only does Borderlands play multiplayer anymore, I wonder if it does, right? Because it used GameSpy as their hookup. But then you went all the way back to Unreal. So was that a digital download from somewhere, or did you break out a disc that you found during your move?
No, I'm pretty sure I bought that on Steam. If I didn't get it on Steam, then I got it on Good Old Games. But it is a revised and playable on Windows 8 version. Again, it doesn't render at 1920 by 1080p, so it renders at, like, 1280 by 960, so you get black borders down the left and right hand side of the screen. And it plays pretty well. One thing I didn't like is it's really dark, and I think that's a graphics problem that I've been trying to resolve. I'm not sure if I've got the brightness in... I've got the brightness on my monitor cranked up. I don't know if I have the brightness in game cranked all the way up, but yeah, it's just kind of hilarious because that game, that was probably the first 3D accelerated game that I played back in the Windows 98 days. So I was, like, desperately trying to figure out how to configure that blasted Voodoo 2 card And I don't know how many people get into hardware nostalgia, but it was like a weird, it was like a Voodoo 2 and a half. It was like this middle card between the Voodoo 2 and the Voodoo 3. And again, it used the old Glide FX API, and there was all this like gamer angst about, you know, should you use Glide or Direct3D back when Direct3D, or DirectFX back when DirectFX wasn't that good, or OpenGL. So it brings a lot of memories back. But I had fun playing it. Like I said, I didn't spend that much time in it. I spent most of the time playing Borderlands, and I am playing Roland in Borderlands.
Cool. That's neat. Yeah, and going back through old PC stuff is always fun. At one point in time this summer, I pulled up on a Windows tablet and pulled up Dark Forces, the old Star Wars, you know, Doom clone there. So, yeah, that's fun. My week has been a mixture of joy and hesitation, right? So I was anticipating the Destiny release. I woke up at launch time to start playing Destiny. Loved it. I played for like an hour in that morning when it launched, and then ended up going back to bed for another hour before getting up to work. But it was a pretty tired day at work. But it was fun. I think we're going to talk about this more in the segments. I've really enjoyed it. I've been playing through the story with some other people on Casual Adult Gamers, and running some missions solo. You know, I think it's pretty good, but at the same time, after only a week here, I don't know. I'm interested to talk more about it, because I know there's some mixed opinions here. So, but I'm enjoying my time. I'm glad I'm in it. It's finally feeling like the game that I was hoping for. You know, talking about Borderlands, right? I've talked on this podcast about Borderlands and Diablo, and that idea of the loot grind and a shooter or an RPG is definitely something that I enjoy. And so it feels like with all the quests that it's something that is going to keep my attention for a while. But the thing that has really been pulling my attention over this past weekend was playing with my kids. We picked up Disney Infinity 3.0, the Star Wars Edition 1, and actually ended up getting not only the Twilight of the Republic, which is the Clone Wars era playset, which the action in it is super fun. It's done by Ninja Theory, so it's the team that did Heavenly Sword, that did Enslaved, that did the most recent DMC. You can launch people up into the air with your lightsaber and juggle them with your blaster. So there's this whole kind of combat aspect that wasn't there before. And then we ended up also picking up the Rise Against the Empire, so the one with Luke and Leia set in the original trilogy. And so actually just this evening I was playing through some of that with my sons and just exploring and unlocking new characters. My sons and I are big fans of the Star Wars Rebel cartoon on Disney XD, which kind of takes place before A New Hope, but after Return of the Sith, or Revenge of the Sith, whatever. See, that's, as a Star Wars fan, I should really know that, but maybe it's because it's
Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, thank you. Yep. We'll just kind of, yep. So it takes place then, and it's different characters, and so they are available in the game as well, and so we've been playing with them and downloading a bunch of user-created maps. And that's really been the most fun, is to see what other people have been making. There's this really good exploration one. It was almost Uncharted-like, where you're climbing through ruins and jumping and platforming and, you know, scaling up mountains. And so it's really fun, and the idea that you can play all your different old characters in it is pretty cool. So I've really been enjoying that, actually. Looking forward to kind of digging into that more. But I think that is, you know, last week I talked about getting my Star Wars fix through Star Wars Uprising, the mobile game, and, you know, spending more time on that than on Mario Maker, and this Disney Infinity certainly hits my Star Wars fix here. There's, you know, flight levels that kind of play out like old Rogue Squadron games, and I haven't actually gone back to touch that mobile game at all, so which is probably why.
So DB, can you, and I'm, this is due to my own fault for just never pulling the thread on it, but can you explain, like, in a couple minutes or less, like, what you do in Disney Infinity? Like, is it, I guess I don't get, is it a, like, a linear, like, third-person action? I guess what I don't get is I've never, all I hear about is, like, I think, and I may have this wrong, too, is, like, the toys or the, like, I don't get what the game actually is, and I apologize.
No. I think that's a really good question. So Disney Infinity, the first one, actually all three of them had what they call play sets, where on your portal base where you have your action figures that you put on, there's also another spot for like a clear plastic, basically an RFID, a holder, and that is where your levels are. That is kind of your pre-made levels. So in the Disney Infinity 2.0 with all the Marvel stuff, there was an Avengers one, there was a Spider-Man one, and a Guardians of the Galaxy. And you put them on, and you had maybe 3 to 8 hours worth of content that was in each level. And so it is. It's kind of a third-person action game. For that, but that part I'm having fun with, but my kids will be the first to tell you that they barely touch the levels and spend most of their time in the toy box mode. And toy box mode is basically like creating levels, so you can get a template of a certain landscape and then kind of dump in and start building structures and enemies and give them mission objectives and things like that. And so it ends up being, for people of my kids' generation that play a lot of Minecraft, it fits right into that kind of build your own game. But the part that I've really enjoyed has been the ability to download other people's games. So like in Disney Infinity 2.0, people had created really cool Spider-Man levels where you can swing around the city through obstacle courses, or they've done other Avengers themed levels. So I like the IP, I'm a comic book fan and a Star Wars fan, and so that part's been fun. The build your own stuff I've never really dove into, so I think that's what sets Disney Infinity apart compared to something like Skylanders Zeus. In something like Skylanders, it's basically a 3D character action Diablo. But in Disney Infinity, you have playsets that are your levels, but then you can also basically build anything else. And so it has a little more versatility that way. Does that help?
Yeah, man, that's a big help. Thanks a lot, I really appreciate that.
So, Gray, I've been rambling on about kids' games and my love of Star Wars, but what have you been playing when I don't think it's Star Wars?
No, I appreciate that. It was great hearing what everybody was playing. I kind of had a boring gaming week. I jumped into, after the last episode we talked about how much we liked Destiny 2.0, and I jumped in after the Taken King and realized that half, if not more, of what I spent my $40 of DLC on last time, The Dark Below, The House of Wolves, had disappeared. So, and we can talk about that later. But I just was like, I wanted to run some Queen Bounties. I wanted to do some of the new stuff I paid for, and it all disappeared. So then I went over to Forza, and, I played 4 or 5 single-player levels, and it's Forza, it's a great game, beautiful looking, a lot of fun. I'm a little frustrated, and I can talk about this more later too, but the multiplayer is not working for me. So what I ended up playing with my buddy Macebite was we played some Halo Master Chief Collection, and the only bad thing about Halo doing co-op with Halo Master Chief Collection is you have to finish the entire level. But we had fun. We went through the library. The library is probably the worst level in that first game, and we survived that, and just had some fun. We flew some banshees around and got taken out quite a few times, and wiped a couple times, laughed, and had a good time. So pretty much that's really all the gaming I did with some Halo Master Chief Collection. So I think with that, I'm going to go ahead and kick us right into the next segment, which is News of the Week. I really haven't been paying attention to the news this week. A lot of crazy things going on around here with the family and anniversaries and all that. So I'm going to kick it over to Osiris. Do you see anything in the news that kind of piqued your interest you'd like to talk about?
Yes, so this past week, excuse me, as I mentioned earlier, Grand Theft Auto had actually dropped some new content. I believe it was Tuesday. So basically, there's a few things that actually came in this new, I guess you want to call it DLC, and it's actually free. All of this was free. So they have new free mode events. So basically, when you first get on to the Grand Theft Auto Online, you're just dumped into the city. There's other players. I can't remember exactly how many are in like a lobby, I guess if you want to call it, in the world. I think it's like 12 maybe or something like that. Somewhere 12 to 16 maybe. I can't remember exactly. So and at that point, that's the free mode. You can just drive around, do what you want. You can, you know, kill each other or, you know, make up your own games if you want or do anything like that. And then there's points along the city where you can, you know, initiate like a race or a death match or something like that. So they've actually added free mode events, which is kind of like in Destiny, like if you're going around and all of a sudden there's like a warning that, you know, there's something you have to go do, like defend an area or just kill a bunch of guys. So kind of like that, where just random events pop up. So there's actually a few different things, and this is just kind of a small sample of what I'm going to talk about here. There's a bunch of cooperative battles you can do, live stunt challenges, free-for-all King of the Hill modes, and just challenges kind of tasking you to break certain speed limits either on land or sea or air or something like that. So overall, they're saying that there's over 200 variants of the free mode events, so all these different events that happen. And actually, I played a few events. I played one where it was you have to get into a car and just drive for as long as you can. I think each event's like 2 to 5 minutes or so. So this one was you drive as far as you can, as fast, not nearly as fast as you can, but you probably want to go as fast as you can. And you can't crash. Can't crash at all. You can't, you know, hit a building, hit a sidewalk, you know, bump into a light post, anything, hit a car. You couldn't do any of that. Otherwise, it just resets, and then you got to start over and, you know, keep driving again. So that was kind of cool. It was kind of interesting, different. And then there's another one, I think it was the last one I was playing last night, where you basically jump into this, you're in these planes, whatever plane you can get a hold of, and there's just like points in the sky that you gotta guess run through, and whoever gets the most amount of point, or I don't know, whoever gets through the most amount of checkpoints, you know, wins that round or wins that event. So stuff like that, you know, just kind of small things. I didn't play any of the King of the Hill or the Deathmatch or anything like that, so. And then also a couple other things. There's two types of adversarial modes. So basically, like a deathmatch. Well, I want to say deathmatch, but they're, you know, where you're going against the other players. So one is called Cross the Line. So there's basically a team. So it's two teams on each side, and you got to try to get past. You have to get to the enemy's like line. I guess I didn't play it, so I'm not really sure how this works. But I'm assuming there's like some kind of point on the map where you got to get all your teammates on over across that line, and obviously you can, you know, kill each other and stop each other at certain points or whatever. And then the other one is the hunting pack, which is there's 8 players, form 2 teams, and one is kind of like a speed, the movie mode, I guess. So one of them is in a vehicle that's rigged with explosives, and they have to stay above a certain speed, otherwise, you know, they blow up. So obviously, if you're on the other team, you want to try to slow that guy down, slow that person down, so they blow up, and, you know, you get the points and all that. So, and if you're like first, second, or third, basically in each of these modes, you get the most points. I think they're called respect points, like RP points, and money. And then kind of however, you know, the rest of the people will get, you know, some points and money also, but, you know, obviously not as much as if you're in the top 3. So one of the nice things about this is it basically kind of flashes up on your screen when one of these events comes up, and you cannot, you know, if you want to do it, you can. Otherwise, you just, you know, go about your business and go do, you know, a regular deathmatch or something if you want. So you don't actually have to do it if you don't want to. I think it'd be like a minute or two also, depending on, I think, the activity. Like if it's something you have to, find a plane or find a car. Obviously, they got to give you some time so you can kind of traverse the city and, find your best vehicle or whatever. Obviously, some people have like apartments or warehouses where they keep their vehicles, so give you time to get to that and, go into your garage and get your best vehicle that you wanna race with. And then finally, the last thing that they released here is the video editor, which is basically, you can make your own machinima, basically. And I think this, well, I know this came out on the PC first, and now it's finally coming out to the Xbox One and PS4. So that's about it. So other than the video editor, all the other, because that was already on the PC, all this content came out for the PC, PS4, and Xbox One this past week. And so far, it's pretty cool. It's kind of nice that, you have a little bit more options that you can do other than just, doing regular death matches and races and stuff like that. So I don't know if any of you guys play GTA right now or GTA 5.
I don't. I haven't. It's been kind of fun to hear you talk about it. I've heard a lot of stories online of people in the multiplayer and all the mayhem that goes on, but I haven't dove into it. Anybody else?
Looks like a no.
Yeah, that's a no for me. I haven't played a game in that franchise since like the second game.
Me neither. No GTA here.
Yeah, it's definitely, I definitely would recommend, jumping online. Even just the single player game is very well done on this one. I think I got like maybe a third of the way through when I played it on the 360, just through the story mode. But I haven't, obviously, haven't beat it yet, and I'll eventually get to it as one of my backlog games. But yeah, I'm having fun just driving around doing stuff in the online mode right now.
So, Prime, and we don't need, I guess we don't need to talk about this so much, but I want to bring it up is the way that you're talking about this and their continue release of content in August. Grand Theft Auto was the number 7 or number 8 best-selling game according to the NPDs, right? And it came out last November. So it's really had legs, and the way that you're talking about the online community and more than just kind of putzing around in the story and just creating havoc, that I can see why it's got so much staying power in sales, is that they continue to put stuff out. And so it's kind of an interesting way that now, right here as the fall season kicks up, that they're putting out some more free content to keep people in their game. So that's neat. That's a real, Rockstar knows what they're doing.
So I have a question for you, Prime. So when they released this paid DLC, I'm sorry, wait a minute, it was free though. But all right, so when they released this DLC, did they take away the other modes that were already in it? Like because they gave you this paid, no way, I'm sorry, free DLC, did they take away the other paid stuff you'd already had?
You know what? They took a whole lot of nothing out. So everything's still in there
I
that
knew
you were
it.
able
I
to do
knew it.
before.
Knew they had to take something out. But how about you, Zeus? You got any stories this week?
Yeah, and I think I'll try and be quick with mine. Number one, just wanted to make a public service announcement that GamesRadar ran a story indicating that Star Wars Battlefront will use dedicated servers. So, for anybody who's not familiar with what this means, if you go back to kind of the Xbox 360 days and you think about games like Project Gotham Racing, or maybe like early versions of Call of Duty, right? You would go into a room and like the first person in that room would be kind of the moderator for that room, right? They would do all the server settings and decide what the gameplay parameters would be. And then people would show up in that room, and that person could like boot people from the room, etc. Those were user-hosted games, and that person's box or the network of boxes were essentially kind of arbitrating network traffic for the group. But later in Generation 7, you started seeing a rise of games that would use dedicated servers, particularly Call of Duty Modern Warfare is the first one that kind of springs to my mind, where that paradigm of a dedicated server kind of started to take prevalence. So when I first saw this news story, I got really excited, because, of course, coming from the PC, you know, whether they were dedicated servers, you would typically have the option, right? Most games, there were, you know, either individual players could host their own server, or there was a farm of servers somewhere, or different services would provide dedicated servers, or gamers could. You could run it from your own machine, but it wouldn't be unusual for gamers to, like, take a PC on their network, set it up as a server, and then go game on another server. So either way, it was hardware dedicated to being a server. So like I said, I was really excited when I first saw this, but then I remembered the thing that came along with this. And one of the key things that came along with when this started in Gen 7 with consoles is that as dedicated servers started to become the majority, what you started losing were a lot of those host-oriented control features, meaning the ability to set the room how you wanted it, and especially the ability to boot people. That was a key turning point for me with the 360, was just, you know, the number of games that started appearing where you could not kick people out of a room, you could only mute them, and then you had to kind of go through this kind of really Byzantine, non-transparent process of, you know, filing a complaint about somebody and then saying that you didn't really want to game with them, and all of which didn't necessarily hardwire you to never seeing that person in a room again. It really just kind of scored the person, so it would try and keep you away from them, but I never felt like it was a guarantee to not show up with somebody in a room. So I'm happy that Battlefront is getting dedicated servers so that the hardware and performance is there. But again, I kind of lament the loss of those features. With Battlefront and the size of battles that they're going to be, I guess I knew that you were just going to be dumped in a room. And I think this is a DICE game, I think. So I'm expecting the normal problems. Okay. So I'm expecting the normal problems you see with a DICE game on consoles, which is I expect voice chat problems, and I expect, like, horrific matchmaking when the game first launches, and an inability to get into a match with your friends, again, without some cryptic Necronomicon-oriented Byzantine method to try and show up in the same room with your friends, at least at launch.
Yeah, another thing that when I actually saw this today too. I think it was on maybe IGN or something, but there's no browsing of modes either. It's all matchmaking, so you can't, you know, like in Battlefield 3 and 4, and I think some of the early ones, and even the Call of Duties up on the PC, you're able to go into a room and pick if you want to, you know, just do deathmatch or just do capture the flag, or, you know, sort it by ping or sort it by, you know, however many other, you know, titles they had up there, and you're not going to be able to do this here. It's just straight matchmaking. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. Maybe with the beta coming up that they'll change their minds if it's not really working all that well.
Yeah, I am I'm really interested in the beta, but I think, Zeus, you're right. The whole DICE piece, there's got to be a ton of pressure on them to make this launch go smooth. I mean, this is, one, it's Star Wars, and all eyes are on it, but also, this, you know, just like Rainbow Six, that it's only a multiplayer game. There's nothing else there. And so if that is down or is spotty, that is going to be really interesting in terms of how much does that push people away. You know, as Gray is talking about Destiny pushing him away, if people are excited to get on this and there's nothing there to do, what's their incentive to come back again?
Yeah, I think they're going to pull it off. The problem I have, and I'm still up on this game overall, the problem I have with it is DICE's, and I don't know how they do it, but DICE's seemingly Teflon-coated skin that allows them to launch multiplayer arena-oriented games like this that have not insignificant quality problems that they are able to get away with ignoring. Like the first Battlefront on the 360 just had, like, a voice comms glitch that they never fixed. Never fixed. Like, 2 years later, I was still playing the game, and you couldn't chat with your friends in-game. And that was at a time before the paradigm was like it is now, where everybody just kind of goes into party chat, and nobody talks to anybody. in the in-game chat. And I guess, you know, later games that DICE has launched have also had some glaring issue that they have just gotten away with never fixing. So I think they're going to pull it off, but I believe they're going to pull it off, and they're going to have two or three major things that just get ignored that doesn't detract from anybody buying the game, and so DICE never gets around to fixing it, which will just be frustrating. Gray, you and I played a lot of those early 360 games and some DICE games, and we were big Battlefield fans. Do you remember those times, and do you have the same concerns about DICE in their releasing a Battlefront?
Yeah, you know, I do. And for me, it's mostly about playing with my friends, like you mentioned. You know, when they got the, get a squad together and jump into a match, and they got that working at Bad Company 2, and again in Battlefield 3, it was spot on. It worked so well. And then they even got it to the point that if you joined on a player, let's say his squad is full, and you're the fifth guy, if you joined on him, yeah, the first round, it may put you on the other team, but it will try to, after every subsequent round, keep you on his team. Even though you couldn't be in his four-man squad, it would try to keep you. You know, why that worked in Bad Company 2 and did not work day one on Bad Company on Battlefield 3, I don't know. But they did nail it with Battlefield 3. They got it working, and it was reliable. As far as I remember, I played a lot of Battlefield 3 on the Xbox. And, you know, that's great. That's great, and that's what you need. Now, I missed the whole Battlefield 4 launch. I was on my sabbatical. But I heard that wasn't working for 6 months, and that scares me. And so I would just say this. I hope DICE gets it right. I hope people allow the squad up and get on the same team with each other. And I hope they're able to choose the mode, whether it's deathmatch, capture the flag, you know, starfighter fight, whatever they're going to call them. They need to be able to choose the mode, because people are going to want to play something together. They're not going to just want to play random. So I hope they do that right. If they fail at that, I can see a lot of people not buying their next game just for the fact of saying, I don't have time. There are too many great games out there. I do not have time to, worry about your quality issues. So that's my two cents on that, Zeus.
Nice. So the second news story was just really quickly around a PC gaming deals for anybody out there who's interested going on this week. Elite Dangerous, which is a kind of a space. I feel like I haven't dug that deeply into the details on it, but it feels and sounds kind of like a space opera. There seem to be elements of kind of EVE Online mixed in with it. It is 40% off on Steam now, so it's down to $27. That game will also be releasing for the Xbox One here shortly, if it's not already out. Every Prince of Persia game is being sold as a bundle for $15 on Gamersgate, which is kind of more of a European-oriented kind of good old games kind of online store. And then Wolfenstein The New Order, if you haven't played that. I have that on my Xbox One and have yet to play it. But it is $20 at GameStop.com. Again, all these games are for the PC, so that Wolfenstein, if you go online and order it, it is a disc-based copy of the game. But again, it's $20. And that is all I have for news.
So Wolfenstein is I picked it up on the Xbox One. I picked it up, I don't know, back in the beginning of the summer. We talked about it a little bit, that Wolfenstein, The New Order, is, you know, you can pick it up used on consoles now for in the $15 range. But it is. It's a good first-person shooter. It's got a really good story to it. And it's got a good pedigree behind it. It's the guys that, the old Starbreeze guys that did Chronicles of Riddick. So if that's a game that you enjoyed, that's a good pickup there. So I have some news. Last week was Tokyo Game Show, and there's a slew of announcements, whether or not how important some of these are, if your new anime about this one character is having a new release on a game. But there's a couple that really kind of stood out to me. So one of them is that there's a remastered of Gravity Rush, which was an early Vita game. And I love the game on Vita. It's great. It is kind of a character action game, but you end up controlling gravity and kind of flopping and moving from wall to wall, and it makes some really interesting combat. And so there's going to be an HD version of that that's going to come out on the PS4, and then there is a new game in that world that will be out on the PS4 as well. And so that's great. It'll look really good in HD graphics. The controls and the combat, it has the potential to find a new audience that obviously almost anything on the Vita didn't find in terms of an audience. So there's also Dragon Quest Builders, which is kind of a Minecraft, very much a Minecraft-like game, down to the point that things are blocky and cubey, but set in a Dragon Quest world. So I can see where there might be a reason for somebody to greenlight this in a corporate boardroom, but I don't know that it's really going to sell a whole lot. Maybe there's a big enough Dragon Quest fan base in Japan or in the East, but it's a knockoff of... I guess I would be curious to see what they do differently than what Minecraft is doing. And if they add anything to that genre, you know, just like at one point in time we talked about, what was the game, Lego Universe or Lego Builders, that fits in that same piece, and we thought it could be interesting and hasn't really done anything else since then. So there's new Bloodborne content and a new Dark Souls 3 coming out. Again, I don't know, Zeus, you have a PS4. Did you get into any of those kind of From Software games? Dark Souls, Demon Souls, things like that?
No, those games are too deep, too long, and too complex for me to jump on. And I want From Software to make a sequel to Chrome Hounds more so than more of these games.
That would be nice. Yeah, Chrome Hounds. Wait, a good callback for your retro game week there, Zeus. So the last two pieces of news, which I think are interesting, is that the PlayStation Morpheus has now been renamed PlayStation VR, which I think is great. I think that, you know, PlayStation is as a brand is selling really well, that the Morpheus is their virtual reality headset. We've talked about that at E3 shows and previous before then. And just naming it PlayStation VR is going to not confuse the market and not have people try to explain what Morpheus is. That it's just VR. Here, it's PlayStation. You like PlayStation. You remember the PlayStation. It's been 20 years. Here's their VR. I think it makes it a little more sellable there. And finally, there is a PlayStation 4 price drop in Japan. So not anywhere else, not in Europe, not in here, not in America. It's selling too well. Maybe we'll see something, but certainly, I don't even know why they, you know. But again, price drop. So it just kind of continuing to solidify their hold as the dominant console, but at the same time, as long as both consoles are selling well, that's good for us, that there's a little bit of competition. So those are my big pieces of news. Anything else that you had, Gray?
No, I think that's it. I think we're ready for our topic of the week. And last week, almost 1 week ago today, we had two big games come out, Forza 6 and Destiny, the Taken King DLC. And since I'm the only one who purchased Forza 6, I'm going to go ahead and start and say it's a beautiful-looking game. I mean, while Forza 5 was a good-looking game, Forza 6 has night racing, it has rain, and it really does look good. Having done about a half dozen races, I can say that, you know, one of the things I liked about Project Cars was the fact that I didn't have to come in the top three to continue to the next race. So going back to that... In having the competition set at normal, they're pretty difficult. You know, I've raced every Forza game, and it's hard to become in the top three. I'm almost forced to drive a little dirty to get into the top three, and I didn't want to do that. I wanted to drive clean. I'd rather come in 10th place than come in second or third, you know, having to, you know, muscle people out of my way. But in any case, we had a get-together set up of casual adult gamers for Tuesday night, and I could not connect. And at the time, I thought it was because I was only like 90% done downloading. I had left my Xbox on to download the game, but apparently it didn't. So Just sat there all day and didn't download the whole thing. So I went back on the following day, Wednesday, and it still wouldn't connect online. And then I started searching, and it seemed like some people were having issues. And so I waited. I figured it would be a hot patch or something or an announcement. And, you know, over the weekend we had another meetup, and I wasn't able to connect. I'm not able to connect to any multiplayer at all. And I just can't think of, I've not had this happen with any Xbox game I have, Xbox One game I have. I have probably 100 Xbox 360 games, and I cannot think, maybe there's one in there where I could never connect to multiplayer, but I can't think of it. This is extremely rare, and I'm really frustrated. So I kind of got on their support forum, and I, you know, a couple days ago, and still have had no answer, and apparently there's no fix. So if you're one of those, I don't know, 1% who bought 4s or 6 and can't play multiplayer, it just seems like the company's ignoring us and not even telling us what's going on. So it's been a week of silence, and if I don't hear anything back in the next 24 hours, I am going to exercise my right to return the game. I bought it digitally in the Microsoft Store, and I'm going to request a credit because, you know, I've already missed two of my matches with my friends. They're having a great time. They love all the setup and all the multiplayer settings and whatnot. But you know what? There's a lot of games coming out. I'm not going to sit on $60 for a month or two waiting for them to fix it. If it doesn't work, I want my money back. So it's kind of sad because I was really excited about it. I got a bunch of friends who are playing it, and I want to join them. But you know what? Destiny still works. Master Chief still works. All my other multiplayer games are working fine. So, you know, and after uninstalling, reinstalling, and rebooting, and unplugging everything, and, you know, spending, you know, 3-4 hours troubleshooting, you know, I'm at the edge. Forza turned 10. If you can't figure out how to get a game to work, then you're going to have to give me your money back. You're going to have to give me my money back because I don't have time for this. I work 60 hours a week. I don't have time to screw around. When it's time to have fun, it's time to have fun, not troubleshoot. So that's my review of Forza 6. A little jaded there, but I know some of the guys are truly, truly loving it. Unfortunately, I am not one of the lucky few. With that, I want to kick it over to... Now, the only person I know who actually got the Taken King was DBQ. I'm not sure if Zeus had bought it. So I'm going to kick it over to you, DB, for your kind of first impressions on the Taken King. So go for it.
Okay, so I will say that I guess it delivers more story in the opening mission than the entire vanilla game did at all. You know, so if your concern with Destiny was that it had this convoluted story or it threw you in the middle of things in 4 different alien races and you had no idea what was going on and there was no exposition and no real reason to fight other than, you know, Peter Dinklage kept telling you to follow him, they definitely give you a reason to fight. And the cinematics are beautiful, the interplay between the characters, they set up some really nice dynamics. Truthfully, I'm only 2 story missions in, because I've been playing it with some other people at Casual Adult Gamers, and we've kind of said that we're going to go through the story together. But it's been a blast. I've played the story mission, the first story mission 3 different times with different characters, finding different things each time that there's different areas to scan. It almost is Metroid Prime-like, where you can hold up your ghost and get some little bits of backstory if you want to. So if you want to be more immersed in the world, here's the option for you. If you don't, if you just want to play it like a shooter, excellent. Here you go. The drop rate is really improved in terms of the engrams you get, and that all the drop rates are based on what your current level is and what your current light level is, and so that you always want to be trying to put the highest attack or the highest defense stuff on, so that the drop rate, you know, not the things that you get are always just a little bit better. And so there's, you know, there's not this kind of mushy finding all kinds of stuff and none of it's being really good that happened during a whole lot of the first year of Destiny. And so that piece, really, for people who are looking at it from a loot perspective, that the loot tables have really been updated really nicely, and that it takes into effect, in some ways, you know, I was listening to some people talk about it, and even when you go to decrypt your engrams, right, you go to the hated cryptarch to see if that thing's going to be worthless or not, that every time you get something that's good, go put it on and equip it and before you decrypt another engram, because every time it's running against a table, it's going to decrypt something, it is based on what your current stats are, what your current level is. And so it really does kind of, in some ways, it's kind of inching you forward, but the fact that it's such a steady drip, you know, it's not, you're not waiting and waiting for just maybe something that can make a difference. So if you were hesitant about Destiny because of the story, you've got a much better story and a reason to actually get invested in some of these characters. If you were hesitant about Destiny because of the loot drops, they've really improved that. You know, I had fun. I've had a blast with it. I have people in our clan that have spent time getting ready for the raid and worked on that, but I haven't touched any of that. I'm only, my highest character is maybe, you know, level 40 and a 220 light level, and it goes all the way up to 290 or so. 280 is the recommended for the raid that just released. So I'm in no rush and really just enjoying the content. There's so many more quests. You know, I think the Borderlands comparison that we were talking about in earlier, Zeus, with you, you know, sometimes in Borderlands you walk into one of those towns, those quest hubs, and you end up with four or five different quests to be going on at the same time. There's a ton of potential quests that you could be doing, and some of them are just normal things you do. Some of them pull you into the Crucible. And so I think there's a lot of content there. You know, Gray, you were really concerned about the $40, and I think because of all the quest content, and from what I've been hearing, a whole lot of stuff even happens after the main story plays out, it seems like they've given a good value of your money for this, you know, and that it works. The multiplayer stuff works. I've been connecting with people, and, you know, again, it's another launch that has been flawless, as we're talking about DICE. So there's my praise, but I'm in a room, or at least on a podcast with three other people that don't have it, and Prime, you really brought up you posted that article from Kotaku about what happens if you didn't have the Taken King. And as somebody who played vanilla Destiny up until the middle of August, until I bought the DLC and churned through it, I was keeping up with the pace, I was getting new gear, I was able to level, I did a lot just on the vanilla Destiny. But now that's changed. Can you talk about what your experience has been, Prime or Gray, as somebody who's been trying to get into it?
Yeah, so I was playing, I think actually I started back up the week before when they actually had the preview of the Crucible maps. So I was playing that, and actually the maps are really good. I actually like the new maps that I played. I don't know if I played all of them or not. I'm not sure how many there were. But, you know, I was having a good time, you know, playing through the Crucible. I was mostly playing the Crucible in Destiny, and kind of every once in a while I go back to the story, or, you know, do some patrols or some daily or weekly strikes or whatever. So, you know, that was fine. So then the following week when it actually released, I jumped on there. I was like, all right, I'll just jump on for a little bit and just, you know, obviously I didn't buy the Taken King, so I knew I wasn't going to get all, I wasn't expected to get, obviously, to get the weapons, the new weapons and all that other stuff in the story mode. So I just wanted to play Crucible. I jump in there. I'm like, it's kind of weird. I don't know if anybody played the Crucible during that week. I know, Gray, you don't usually play the PvP, but DB, you said you jump in there. So it was that kind of that first row. It was like, I think, five or six items you can, you know, pick through all the different modes. And that was all grayed out. I was like, okay, it's kind of weird. So then below that, there was three other options you can pick. And there was like classic deathmatch. And I think it was classic 3v3, classic 6v6, which is like a regular, you know, deathmatch team. And then a third one, which I can't remember right now. So I was like, all right, well, let me do the 6v6, which is like the regular battles. So I go in there thinking it was just deathmatch, and actually, what it actually is, it's either a team deathmatch or I think it's called Control, where they have the three different points on the map that you take over, and however long you have it, you get so many points. And it actually dumped me into that control. I was like, well, that's weird. I thought I picked deathmatch, but so I played a couple rounds, and then I jumped back into the map, and I'm like, wait a minute, this is weird. I was kind of, definitely looking at, what's there now, and it really wasn't much anymore. You only have like four, maybe five different modes you can play, just on the vanilla Destiny, and everything's locked out. Everything else is locked out. You can't do any of the other modes other than just general deathmatch, control. I think capture the flags in there, and then the, kind of the variations when it's just three versus three. So I was like, okay. So I kind of just shut it off at that point. I was like, it was late, so I didn't think anything of it. Saw a couple of things online. I think just on the CAG site, how everybody was enjoying all the Taken King, and then I saw Gray's post, and he actually referenced a Reddit article, and it was talking about all these other things that they actually taken away through the story mode, like strikes, and I think there's some weapons that you more than likely can't get now unless you've already gotten them, and just kind of other things like that. So I was just kind of shocked that they actually, took away content that I had before. I mean, it was all there before I was able to get to it, and now it's just kind of a shell of its former self. So I don't know, Gray, if you want to talk a little bit more about that. Hello, Gray?
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I'm going to go ahead and jump in and just say that, reading that Reddit article, which I found from your Kotaku article, was that, listening to what he was saying and then going back to the game and looking at it, it's if you think about what you bought, what you got when you spent the $40 on the Dock Below and the House of Wolves, a big part of what you received in those DLCs, you got some story missions, that's great, but you also got the kind of like the end game, the bounties that you could do, and then the harder strike list, which gave you more goodies in return for playing the strike playlist on a harder level. And so really, going through the story missions is great. It's a lot of fun. It's good to do. I'm working on my third character again, who I brought through level 20. I restarted him so I could go experience the new questification of the first, 20 levels and whatnot. But I want to take my level 32, 33 hunter, and I just want to go do some bounties and do some strikes. That's the end game for me. I need five other people to do a raid, so I want to do a strike and I want to do some bounties. And I have not done all the Queen's bounties, but for some reason, for whatever reason, Eris's bounties are gone, the Queen's bounties are gone, and my strike playlists are gone. Matter of fact, there's only one level 20 strike playlist. For somebody who sunk $95 into this game, I don't know why I'm losing. I would say I lost about half of my DLC has just disappeared. And I don't understand why. I don't understand why that is. Was I just renting it for a few months? I don't understand. To me, I've never seen any game that did that. If I bought a DLC, I kept all of that content. And I'm like, why would I pay $40 for the Taken King now when I'm only going to have it for 3 to 6 months, and then half of the content will disappear again? So that's where I'm standing. I mean, I just don't. There's no fun for me to go into Destin anymore. I don't have any bounties, Eris or Queen bounties to go grab, and I don't have all their gear, so I don't have any new gear to get. For me, it's there's nothing really to do. Time to put the game on the shelf and move on, I guess. I'm sure the people who bought the Taken King are going to have a lot of fun, and I know the $60 compilation that has everything is a phenomenal deal if you haven't played it yet. That's the package to buy, but I'm still unhappy that half of what I bought was erased. And when I bought it, it said I got that. It didn't say I got it for 3 months. It said that was going to be mine. I would have those bounties, etc. So I don't know. That's where I'm coming from. You've lost a lot in the Crucible. I've lost a lot in the PvE. And at this point, I don't see buying another Bungie property for a while, just because I feel wronged. I feel cheated. Give me my money back. But those are my thoughts. I don't know if anybody wants to chime in on that.
So I'm going to chime in, and you know, I think we have spent a lot of time over this past, you know, what, 9 months that we've been podcasting, talking about Destiny. You know, if the Band of Gamers site has Destiny characters as its Band of Gamers, and maybe that needs to change. But, so definitely, I mean, there has been a lot of enjoyment that has come out of this game, and I'm really kind of disappointed that's the state. So the Crucible part, Prime, that really surprises me. Like, why can't those... I could totally understand not having access to the new maps. That makes sense. Or even the new modes. That was the way I played most of PvP, is that I played almost all Control because I only had the base game. But I still had access to choose just that one mode rather than a rotation and hope for the best. That seems crazy to me why that has been changed. That one I don't know at all. Gray, I share some of your frustration in terms of the strikes, because it's the same way for us as Taken King players, is that the strikes have been gutted. That there's no Tiger or Vanguard, or there's no strike that does anything. You know, a level 20 strike really isn't worthwhile. So for me, I just had a character hit level 40, and when I did that, then the weekly and the Nightfall opened up, and I'm still not even close to being able to hit those. You know, I need a level of like 240 light to run the weekly, and 260 to run the Nightfall. And so I think they've really changed the way that they're treating strikes, where before you could do strikes at lots of different levels. You know, every different level increment that you did a strike at, you got a better reward. But they still had them at lower levels, and you could make them count. And now there's not any of that. And so that's a disappointment to me, even as somebody who paid for the Taken King, because I enjoy that. That's a fun time to get in with friends and move through content, and that's not available to me until I move through more and get to a certain level. So that's disappointing, and so that's not simply just a whether you have the Taken King or not. I think the challenge there is that strikes, you're right, strikes, without the Taken King, getting up to that level is not even possible, and so it really does lock that content out, which is too bad. I don't agree with it. I think it. Gray, you're a huge Bungie fan, or you have been, right? You have been diving into Master Chief Collection all throughout this year. You know, to have you be this soured on a Bungie game, you know, you've had a really junky, crappy, weak experience in games between not working in Forza and not having any game left in Destiny. That is... That's not right. The bounty stuff, the Heiress bounty and the Queen's bounty, there are definitely some story reasons why that changed. You know, that's similar to something like World of Warcraft and Cataclysm, where things shifted and the world has a new normal, and so those bounties are different. But again, there's not an equivalent. Right? If there was some way of an equivalent of that, like, oh, okay, well, this is different, but you could still do something because you paid for that DLC, you still would have something to do with Petra Vale and the Reef, or Eris Moon and all the Hive stuff, because you paid for that. I think, you know, I hope that there's a vocal enough community of people who invested in the first year and are frustrated that it makes them consider how they, you know, that there's no reason they couldn't do an update to go back and unlock those Crucible ones, or go back and give an alternative in a bounty. Gray, what are you thinking here?
Yeah, you know, I just, you know, we still have the original bounties for the original game. And they've been tweaked, that's sure, that's true. But when Eris came along, we still had the original bounties, and we had the Dock Below bounties. And when the House of Wolves came along, we had the House of Wolves bounties. We had Eris's Dock Below bounties. And we had the original bounties. So nothing prepared me for losing that content with the new story. If I do not buy the story add-on, if I do not buy the Taken King add-on, shouldn't my old bounties still work? And, you know, maybe they can't have the House of Wolves running around, but, you know, the gangs of wolves, maybe they have to have something new appearing. But there were plenty of bounties where it was go hunt this guy down over in this corner of the map. There's no reason to get rid of those guys. There are still the original bounties there. There are still the original baddies from the original missions on the map. So, you know, I just, you know, I can see some tweaks needed to be made, you know, but, you know, not all of the bounties. I mean, it's you know, hey, they get a company to run. I hope they're happy. As for me, I think I'm done. I just, you know, I paid $35-40 for two expansions that were just gutted, and I'm not going to buy now one expansion for $40 with the thought process that it's going to be gutted in 6 months, 3 to 6 months. So, but I hope people who bought it have fun with it. I'm hearing all kinds of good things from people. And if you haven't played Destiny yet, that $60 disc is well worth it. I mean, the content you're going to get on there is just phenomenal. But as somebody who decided not to buy Taken King, I can see I definitely was left behind. That's all I can say.
I want to throw just one more thing out there, and I think the more that I have thought about this and reading you guys' posts in the forums at Casual Adult Gamers, the more I agree with you. I think from all the press that Bungie had leading up to the Taken King, right? E3, then at Gamescom, they came out with a whole bunch, and Game Informer had cover stories and headlines on their website for weeks. Never in there was there any type of notification of the way that the changes are going to affect people that don't have the Taken King. It was always written in a framework of an expectation that this is just the Taken King, and this is the expansion, and we're not going to talk about what happens if you don't have the expansion. There was never any way in there to say, even if they would have tipped their hand and said, you know, it's really important for, you know, some of the first-year content is getting removed because of story justifications, or something in there that they could have tipped their hand or let their user base know that things may be changing. And, you know, I think that reflects poorly on wherever that company decision has been made. And, you know, I'm glad that the musical composer won his lawsuit and got his Bungie shares back, and, you know, that news story from a couple weeks ago certainly tips the hand about how a mess Destiny became and a battle internally. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's too bad that this is the state of something that you spent a whole lot of time really enjoying, Gray. So I guess that's where I'm at with it, is I'm going to continue to enjoy it, but I really wish that my friends and other people that were able to play certain stuff could come back and play again.
Yeah, I'm actually glad you mentioned that, because I was just, you know, thinking the same thing, that, you know, not once ever, and I actually kind of went back on our, you know, on different articles also and looked, and they never mentioned that, you know, you're going to lose this or lose that, or this is going to change, and it's just, I don't know, it's just really weird. And another thing that's really disappointing is I'm someone that doesn't really buy DLC, so I never bought The House of Wolves or what's the other one? Dark Below. So I wasn't really even thinking of buying The Taken King. I was just like, okay, it's just an expansion, you know. I'll just wait until next year when, you know, more than likely Destiny 2, if that's how, you know, is going to be released, if that's the way they're going to go, or if they're just going to do, you know, these kind of incremental, smaller DLCs and then just do these giant ones like The Taken King. Because, I mean, from what I read, it actually seems to have, you know, changed the game quite a bit and how things are. Obviously, the levels, how you level up now is different. So, you know, it fundamentally changed the game. So, but, you know, I didn't know it was going to, you know, take away stuff. I don't know why they couldn't just, you know, leave that in there. And, you know, I don't know. I guess it's kind of different since it's, MMO-ish. You know, it's not just relying on level caps and, you know, what level you are is you're gonna unlock this story mode and, you know, this kind of stuff. So since like the story and you can always level up in the story or just the Crucible, which is what I actually leveled up. I think most of my leveling was through the Crucible because I always just played that, you know, just a little bit of the story and, you know, the bounties and all that. So I don't know. It's just disappointing that, you know, they went this route and, you know, I don't know how, like I said, I don't know how it's gonna be next year if they're just gonna keep, you know, on with the DLC or release a whole new, you know, disc or download, you know, Destiny 2 or how that's gonna work. I don't know, Zeus, I don't know if, I don't think you've ever played Destiny as far as I know, or if you have any thoughts, or if you can ever think of a another game that might have done something like this, you know, this drastic.
No, I've never seen a game pull anything like this. I have played Destiny. I've actually played it on both Xbox One and PS4 just because I had friends playing it on the two platforms. But, you know, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, and I think I've mentioned frequently outside of that, you know, my big problem with Destiny is in some ways similar to Forza. Forza kind of has this input threshold for you to step over to, before you can start playing multiplayer, right? You really need to kind of invest a few hours in racing and building up your initial garage. Destiny, first of all, had a hardwired threshold that was similar to that because you couldn't even get into multiplayer until you'd played through a little bit of the initial campaign. But then it also had this input debt that you had to maintain in order to play with friends, right? Because you got to stay up with everybody's level. So I just couldn't deal with that with my current lifestyle and my old commute. So I didn't keep up with it. It's jarring and surprising, and there's a bad smell to it that Bungie went about it this way. There was something that feels like the decision making that resulted in them winding up here is something different and changed about that studio, like. I can't see this happening with an iteration of Halo that they would have done while they were part of Microsoft. So I'm not sure what's going on, and I'm not sure what's changed. And DB mentioned that whole thing about the Marty O'Donnell case, and that has a weird smell, a bad smell to it as well. But I know we've gone over. I want to throw a couple kind of Chris Matthews hardball style questions at you guys, mainly you, Gray, but specifically on Forza. First of all, does Forza 6 have microtransactions down correctly after they fixed them with 5, or is it back to the way it was at the launch of 5?
You know, I was never one to buy cars or buy any add-on packs, so I don't know. I mean, I played through a half dozen races, and I felt like I was being rewarded more cars than I was going to be able to use. So no, I thought the game was fun. I never felt the need to have to spend money in Forza. I kind of just refused to. I'm like, you know, if there is a car I need to win a race, I'm just not going to do that race. So I guess I can't answer that question.
Okay, next question. Same thing, also on Forza 6. Does the state of Forza 6 and the fact that you're just about ready to ask for a refund, do you think that you will skip the next chapter of Forza?
I think what will probably more likely happen is I would probably, if I do return it, if they can't fix it, maybe pick it up on sale for half price in a few months, just to finish off the single player racing season. It's I something I enjoy, you know, and I tend to collect racing games and play less than I own. But I thoroughly enjoyed the single player, but I bought it to play with my friends who are playing without me because of this weird glitch. So I would just probably pick it up on sale half price sometime in the future.
Okay. And now, do you have a PlayStation 4 now also?
No, I'm even though DB said it wasn't planned anywhere, I'm hoping that this holiday season the PS4 will go on sale for $350 and include the Drake collection. But I'm sorry, the Uncharted collection. But no, don't have one. I think I have no idea why they lowered the price. It makes absolutely no sense to me. But I hope they do do it in the US.
So that leads to my other hardball question for you on Forza. Does the state of Forza 6 make you think that you might leap into the PS4 if and when you you feel comfortable that there is definitely a Gran Turismo release coming out?
No, you know, I have a Gran Turismo for the PS3. And is it Gran Turismo 5? And
I think there was a 5 and a 6 on the PS3.
I think I have Gran Turismo 1. I know I have Gran Turismo. I think it's 5 for the PS3. Yeah, so I just never thought that franchise felt friendly like Forza to me. And I also got Project Cars, which I've played probably race 3 or 4 races in, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it as well. So that's a fairly recent game. So no, I wouldn't go over to the PlayStation for racing. You know, it would have to be a exclusive like Uncharted, which I thoroughly love. I can't think of any other exclusives they have right now that I would be dying to do. I do want to throw out this. Rumor has it that both Halo 5 and Rainbow Six Siege will have free DLC. And when you get the free DLC, much like GTA 5, you will not lose your old DLC. So I'm looking forward to that.
So my last hardball question, I think, actually, I'll throw this over to DB. You know, we were talking about Borderlands a little bit before, and you've now heard kind of some of the negatives of the sneaker bomb that came packaged with The Taken King. And you also mentioned that you'd played, I think, like three sequels or iterations of Borderlands. Do you think overall that the RPG and weaponeering systems of Borderlands and campaign orientation of Borderlands feel better now that you've seen the most recent round of DLC drop for Destiny? And do you think Destiny is going to have a hard time wiring up its systems as well as Borderlands did, primarily because Destiny's not doing sequels, they're trying to be this MMO kind of looking thing?
So I think that's a nuanced question. I think that Destiny does gun collecting better than Borderlands, because Borderlands is, you know, they always bragged about a million guns, and it is, they're randomly generated, and so there's not a story or a name or this meta attached to certain shotguns or a snipe or certain sniper rifles that everybody is questing over, right? All of the press over Galahorn during last year with Destiny only exists because there's a limited number of guns and there is a narrative that can build up around them, a community narrative that can build up around them. And so in that way, Destiny builds it better than Borderlands. Questing wise, I think Borderlands feels very much like an MMO in terms of its quests. I think that it gives you a deeper story. There's the fact that we were talking about the names of the characters in Borderlands with Roland and Lilith and Brick and Mordecai. I only know those because of Borderlands 2 and the pre-sequel. In the first game, they had no names. They were soldier. Maybe they had a name, but no character development at all. And so Borderlands, over the course of 3 games and a whole lot of DLC, which you always had access to, or you at least could still play your base game, that they developed a really interesting world there. I think Destiny has that potential. You know, I think they've definitely given some of the characters in the tower that you interacted with, all your Vanguard, your 3 Vanguard people, and Eris, Moan, Morn, now have a personality where they didn't before. So they've taken 4 characters, and really a lot of it has been on the back of Nathan Fillion with Cade 6, the Hunter. You know, Nathan Fillion can play a cocky smartass really well. So I think that and, you know, ODST has shown us that along with other things. And so I think that they've made progress there, but if you're, you know, I think Borderlands, for people that want that RPG, Borderlands still gives more of an RPG aspect to it. But Destiny, the gunplay in Destiny is still really good, which is, again, why it's really disappointing that the PvP stuff, the Crucible stuff, is locked out. It's because at its core, it's still a really solid game. So, I don't know. I don't know where that all plays out, Zeus. I think that's a good question. I think that there are, for the people who came at Destiny because it was a shooter, I think Gray's experience here is very true, that if there's other games that are going to scratch that shooter itch. And for the people that came at it as an MMO or an RPG, I think it's finally starting to satisfy some of those people more. But in the process, it's isolating other players. So it'll be interesting to see.
Thanks a lot, guys. Those are all great responses. Gray, I turn the helm back over to you.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining the podcast tonight. It was great talking to you guys. And for you, the listener out there, if you want to join the conversation, you know, you can always comment on the post for the show at bandagamers.net or send us your thoughts in an email, podcast@bandagamers.net. And on behalf of DBQ Hams, Osiris Prime, Zeus Adamus, and myself, Greylock3491, we appreciate you listening, and until the next time we talk, peace.